Well, gentlemen, it's a pleasure always to be with you. Love to sing God's praises. What great words in those hymns. Did you catch some of those? I'm just enjoying them. I know not how to sing faith to me in part. That was making me thankful this morning that he saved us out of our sin. And what can encourage you this morning? So just the hymnody, such rich heritage. I love it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us life and breath this morning, that you've given us a breath to sing your praises, to sing praise the Lord, to sing hallelujah, and exalt your name for your greatness and your wonders and your mighty kindness to us, your love to us, and sending your son dying upon the cross, and for your mighty power rising from the dead. We thank you for the works of Christ, our Creator and Lord. We thank you for your kindness in revealing your Son to each of us and sending your Spirit, as we've sung about, that grace to save filthy sinners like us, dragging us out of the dust of death and breathing life into us and give us a heart to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We were dead in our sins and loving sin instead of Christ. We praise you this morning for your grace in the lives of our families and our friends. But we pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us a heart to reach out to those who have not yet bowed the knee to Christ.
Yeah. Right.
Pray that you would give us words and strength and courage to share the gospel with those still lost among us. It's so easy to spot them anymore now, Lord. We pray that you just give us opportunity to share that gospel and ask folks, hey, do you know about the gospel of Christ? That you would give us courage to be ready to share his mighty works.
Right.
I pray that you'd be with us this morning, that you would encourage your saints, you would build us up through your word. And I'd ask that in Christ's name.
Amen.
That's it. The thankful heart, hymnody can get you going this morning, brother. Hymnody can get you going.
Come on.
Well, my friend Ed, threw out the challenge, so here we go. I am going to start somewhere where you may not have predicted, though. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. Got your Bibles? If not, I'll read from John 1:1. And I'm going to read it with my own interpretation in place, but if you look down at verse 14, I'll trust that you believe that the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us is Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
So this is how I want you to think about John 1:1 this morning, first two or three verses. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus. Without Jesus was not anything made that was made. I want you to hear that one more time. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus. And without Jesus was not anything made that was made.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I can just sit down now, right?
It's over.
But my topic this morning, I don't know a segue into this, but I will give you the segue. I found one for you. My topic this morning is dragons. Now, how mighty a creator do we have? It says here that all things were made through him. You say dragons? Come on, Tim. We know there's no such thing as dragons. I mean, we're in the age of enlightenment now. Those are just myths and fun legends from the past. Well, let me introduce you to a word in the Hebrew in Genesis 1. So if you want to look at Genesis 1, let's look at some of the things Jesus created. And Jesus is such a mighty creator that he created everything. That is the Old Testament. That's the first book to make it easy. We're going to go on the first chapter to make that easy as well. Praise God that we're still learning. In Genesis 1:20, it says, And God, so that's Elohim there. And Elohim said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures. God created the great sea creatures. Some of you may have a version that says whales. Well, that's a whale of a tail. It includes more than that. It's the word tanim. Best I can pronounce Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but tanim is this word for sea creatures. It can be sea monsters. It can be, some have called it jackals. Some have called it even Leviathan will help us think of the sea creature, perhaps. That's better. Leviathan would be one of these sea creatures within this category of tanim. But God created all of the amazing things that we see in the scripture. One of them was just discovered in the UK, a fossil, and a man stands here beside the skull of one of these dinosaur sea creatures that's this tall. His beak comes here, and his teeth come all the way down to the floor. It's 40, 50 feet long, and we've got the most perfect skeleton we've ever found. It was found in 2021, of the sea creature, and it has one of those dinosaur names. Speaking of dinosaur, I don't like the word dinosaur. It's new. You know how new the word dinosaur is? I know the mantra has always put millions of years with the word dinosaur, so it kind of fools us. But the word dinosaur was created by Sir Isaac. Oh, why is that guy's name? Doesn't matter. It was in 1841 he coined the phrase. 1841. Less than 200 years ago, he coined the phrase dinosaur. Do you know what dinosaur actually means? Terrible lizard. Oh, you guys are all over this. I like that. Who said that?
Man.
Yeah. There you go. I should have known it was Eric. All right. But so I like that phrase, terrible lizard. I watch such crazy things as the Komodo dragon shorts on YouTube. I don't know. I just can't look away. A Komodo dragon, you know, is almost as long as an alligator. It's just a snake with legs. The thing chomps down everything. On YouTube, you're missing out. That's right behind an elephant giving birth. If you haven't watched that drop, then you've got to see that. Oh, YouTube is fantastic. And it's God's creation. Yeah. Sorry about that. I forgot about this food thing going on here. But God's creation is amazing. We can't look away when we see one of these 30 feet anacondas. We read about the extinct animals. You see, God's creation isn't getting better. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a downer, but it's not evolving. We're under the curse in the garden still, folks. And one of those curses, you might say, were dragons became unfriendly, I think. But dragons are amazing animals. Let me take you a couple of verses where this word tanim is used. It's used several more times than when it doesn't say sea creatures, a lot of times they'll say whales and make it real naturalistic with something that we have seen in our lifetime that hasn't become extinct. But so many mighty creatures of God, due to the death and sin that rolled in and cursed this world, extinction is what we observe. If you want to be scientific, we observe things dying and not coming back. The golden toad is no more. The dodo bird is gone. We've missed out on some of these things. The woolly mammoths, the saber-toothed tiger. If it wasn't for Ice Age Man, I wouldn't know what these things were.
What happened to the rock bird?
The rock bird. I haven't looked that one up. I thought it was Rockford, Illinois, but not. I digress. It's fun, though. In the Psalms, in Psalm 74, let's talk about the Lord Jesus again. I hope you want to hear about the Lord Jesus. In verse 12 of Psalm 74, he says, yet God my King is from old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Anytime you see the word salvation in the Old Testament, what should you think of it? Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus' name means Yahweh saves. He says in verse 13, you divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the sea monsters, of the tanim. on the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him his food for the creatures of the wilderness. I attempted to send a video to my friend Mick here, and I'll just describe it to you. You guys have all read about Leviathan. You know what Leviathan does? Satan. It definitely gives you a picture of Satan. Do you know what else Leviathan did? How's he described? Remember why God showed Leviathan to Job? Oh, well, we're gonna review this then. We're gonna go to Job 41.
Better start
fresh, huh? You guys have forgotten more scripture than I've learned. So this is fun. We get to remind you of things that you've forgotten. Job 41. So to give you the background, God is revealing to Job why he needs to just and listen to his creator and bow to his creator's greatness and bow to his creator's will in his life and why all these wrong things have happened to him. Why is anything going wrong in your life? Well, you're in a sin-cursed world, but you're also having God purify you and work in your life through the trials and tribulations. If you don't have trials, you forgot the promise God's given you to have trials. So Job is going through a trial here. He says, out of the whirlwind, God says, hey, can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? This is a mighty tanim. You can't. The answer is you can't. These are rhetorical questions. Thank you, Ed. Will you play with them as with a bird, or will you put him on a leash for your girls? Let's skip down a little further. It gets more interesting. He says, I will not keep silence concerning his limbs in verse 12, or his mighty strength, or his goodly frame. Who can strip off his outer garment? Who can come near him with a bridle? Who can open the doors of his face around his teeth? His terror, his back is made of rows of shields, shut up closely with a seal. God can make some things, can't he? Jesus, our creator, made this thing. And then in 17, they are joined one to another. They clasp each other and cannot be separated. His sneezings flash forth light. What? I've sneezed a lot, but you've never seen light. His eyes are like the eyelids of the dawn. You've seen the sun come up before. We haven't for 3 days, but we've seen the sun come up. Imagine glowing eyes on a sea creature. Picture this thing. Your brain can probably picture more than what we might be able to imagine. Out of his mouth go flaming torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils comes forth smoke as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals and a flame comes out from his mouth. Is God's word true? Do you all believe in fire-breathing dragons now? You can trust God, the creator, or you can trust people that say, no, it couldn't happen because I didn't see it. Ed seen it in movies. It has to be true. The YouTube video I was going to show is just a 4-minute short. It's called The Wonders of Creation. So you can look it up on your own. But it's about the bombardier beetle. I love the bombardier beetle. We still have it here today. Bombardier beetle has two sacs in his hiney. And when he wants to, he can secrete the technical terms of those gases together. And it creates a gas that's 212 degrees Celsius, not Celsius, the other one.
Fahrenheit.
There you go. You guys are good. Boiling gas out of his rear to protect himself from predators. This is something we observe today. This is science. You can see it. You can observe a bombardier beetle shoot out this boiling gas today. What would it be for our creator, God, to take one of the skulls of one of these dinosaurs we've seen that has a couple of areas in there? Kinham and the Answers in Genesis has shown this. Has a couple of pockets. What would it be for an animal to be created to be able to shoot something out that would hit oxygen and ignite and flame? Well, since God says it's true, now we have to imagine how he did it. But that's how mighty our creator is. He can make a fire-breathing dragon, and he can show it to Job, and he can say, Job, I'm your creator. Now, I told you all this to tell you this. Who feels spry and wants to pass out some of these for me?
Here's the young man.
There we go. There's some for you. I'd rather for you. You have more than he does. All these passing those out. I'm going to ask you, what's at the center of Revelation? What is at the center of the book of Revelation? Your answer might not be dragon right away, but I bet by the end of the day, you won't be able to forget it. The center of Revelation is all about dragon. I'm going to show you that from the scriptures here in a minute once we get those passed out. Once he brings me back my copy. Please, sir. Thank you. I better have one to cheat off of. You got a pen, you can have some fun looking up these verses with me. Something that got mailed to our church, just as a point of complete off the topic. Have you ever heard of a walker hymn sing? I haven't. It's
you know to go, it's fabulous.
Hey,
it's been going on for, oh God, it's probably 10 years.
Yes, sir. This even claims more than that, but yeah, it is a time where just people that want to get together up in Longmont, Saturday, June 17th, not Longmont, Fort Collins, off Harmony Road, about a mile off I-25.
That's where the Walker Lawn, they make lawn, industrial lawnmowers.
Okay.
You see all these guys doing lawn service, they just have a walker. Yep. That's what it is.
Yeah, it just says bring lawn chairs and blankets. There's a come and enjoy a picnic dinner, bring a picnic to enjoy with your family. The grounds open at 4:30 for prelude music, and there's going to be hymns, gospel songs, special music. What I like is the main description. It says an open air evening of congregational singing, lifting high the name of our Lord Jesus through hymns and gospel songs. So for what that's worth, if you want more information, I've got a card here. You can have that to share with your folks. But that sounds like fun. I'm back to dragons. Turn to the book of Revelation. Now, first of all, I want to prove to you that dragons are in the center. So we're going to first look at the book of Revelation. Who's the first person that can tell me where Alpha and Omega is found in Revelation? Where the phrase is Alpha and Omega found in Revelation? I heard somebody say chapter 21. I think you're right. But also in chapter 1, verse 8. So you'll notice at the top of your page, it says Alpha and Omega. So by Alpha and Omega at the top of the page, I want you to write down Revelation 1:8. If you don't have a pen, write it down in your memory, or you go home and you can look these up. That's a fun little memory. You're right. We'll look these up online. In 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's in Revelation 1:8. Did you know the phrase Alpha and Omega is only found in the book of Revelation? It's found here in chapter 1, but look out. Somebody's mentioned chapter 21. What verse did you find in 21, my friend?
6.
21:6. It says, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life. So 21:6, if you look down at the bottom of your page, write down 21:6. The Alpha and the Omega is at the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega is at the end. Where's the tree of life found in Revelation?
Master, if you just tell us.
Yeah, it is. Why don't you look at Revelation 2:7? Yeah, the interesting thing about this is my cheat sheet that had the answers on it. That's in Broomfield. So now I'm going to use all you guys. Yeah.